Because with the vampires, I thought it was the cross that affected them. We didn't even mention the cross once.
Yeah, is that true, guys? Do you know about the cross as a protection?
Well, apparently the sign of the cross is something that they are repelled by.
Right. Movies.
Yeah. No,
oh, and that's chromosome 14, our blood somehow.
Oh, yeah, chromosome 14. That's a good point.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Right.
They know they can get changed by our RNA drops.
Yeah, was it Sean that mentioned they're going to come after us because we get the best blood?
No, but they'll get changed.
Well, yeah, because if our blood has our silver in it, then that protects us. Right
no,
there.
Chromosome 14 alters their blood.
Alters our blood.
Yeah, but it's there,
yeah,
too. That's why
like
they're afraid of the cross.
It looks like
yeah,
a cross.
Yeah, so we got the cross protecting us.
With
the
when the rings and arms left, it looks like a cross.
Mm.
I think
Ginny's
got
like
quite a
Sean got a little pet rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake.
You got a little rattlesnake there, eh, Sean?
A rattlesnake.
Yeah.
It sounds like on our end here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it, Sean? Just a dumb bird? You got a parrot or something?
She cut off again.
You dumb human. Oh, she got cut off again.
Well, hey, Bob, did you go up 6 months and 6 days from the date of that recording to find out more about...
It was 11 months, 6 days.
It was 11
yeah,
months.
Yeah, 11 months.
11 months, 6 days.
I don't know. I don't think I did.
We never fall.
We always we never fall on anything. We always forgot on to the next topic. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a parody that they were doing. Well, you know, the hour, you'll mark the hour in the 6 minutes, and we want to make sure you know the time. And then Bob just said, "Well, you quit it, Ion. We can't stand you, you know, doing this diversion."
Yeah, what they are talking about is I was re-listening to them, and I'd say, well, I'm up to number 33 now. You know, we're up to 230 sessions, but on my replay, I was up to 33 and 38, and he would make number projections.
Mm.
You will be up to this one, 99 in a year and a half, kind of thing.
It seems that they've always done that. They'd always done predictions that later on, because I heard again in the Revelations that, yeah, Bob, and you'll get to hear that in mid-2014.
Right.
I think it was 2014 when you did re-listen to the Revelations. So seems like they did that in bed all the time, engaging you all, telling you things that would happen later.
Yeah, it says here, 122, good old grade primary right after grade novice. So then Kyle, now, if anybody's a vampire, it's Kyle, right? He insists on being a Christian too fanatically. He's trying to cover up something, I think. He says Vlad, see, he knows all this stuff already. Vlad was a Christian fighting a battle against non-Christian army. His wife here, Vlad, had been killed and committed suicide. When Vlad found out, he blamed God and swore to live forever without ever serving God again. He felt God had taken his wife from him. See, Kyle knows all about Vlad. He said all this after I said he was a vampire. I didn't know he wrote this. Look at this. See, they know he knows who his God is. Yeah, Kyle, you believe all that stuff about Vlad. That's the cover story. Then Kyle says, an image of Christ began to bleed in front of him. He drank the blood and found the power was in the blood. He then began drinking blood to remain alive. How come Kyle knows all this?
Was so, any of that in the Bible?
I don't know.
Kyle's a Bible scholar.
Yeah, maybe that's in the Bible. So then Greg comes in. Greg Duffel is back, and he says, still going on about Vlad the Impaler? That kind of attitude, Greg, won't get you far. You won't get no promotions here. Still going on about Vlad the Impaler. Yeah, what did you learn yet so far, Greg? Oh, shit, I got all the windows open, Karen. I forgot to close them. Oh, my God.
You're 4 minutes over the cutoff, Bob.
Yeah.
We're out of the compound now.
I've always shut them. But the one night we're talking about the worst topic ever, the windows are wide open. Way life is, you know.
That's the way life is.
Yeah, I will close the windows.
Mm-hmm.
I keep them open when the recording is on to get fresh air. But now I must lock myself back in.
But, you know, 122 brings up a point here that he says, seems Judas hangs himself in the Bible, don't get the silver thing. That's true. I never heard about Judas drinking silver.
Oh, he says in the Bible it says he hung himself?
Yeah.
I made up more shit. Or the other universe. Yep. We didn't know any better. So this guy, the standard story is he hung himself. Yeah, which religious sect believes that? Kyle always comes up with the crap, right? 122 says, seems Judas hangs himself in the Bible. Don't get the silver thing. Kyle, he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces. When he hung himself, the silver fell to the ground, revealing the Jews had bought his betrayal. It's very symbolic. Boy, they're going to go with that crap. There's no symmetry in that. Remember, the guys who wrote the Bible couldn't even read. Remember that, eh?
The guys who wrote the Bible wrote the Bible wrong.
Yeah, the guys who edited the Bible couldn't read.
Yeah.
We organized the pages. And then 122, it brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. It's a cover. They want to give you the symmetry of how we are all, that they cause vampirism. See, the church causes this problem. Did you get that part, Kyle? That the Pope causes vampirism. Phil says, when the atmosphere fully changes over to AL2SO4, physical vampires will join the mass exodus, as they won't be able to breathe either, unless they discover the drops, of course, and then presumably they cease to be vampires as they become eternal and no longer immortals. Has anybody ever heard that before? Is that's Phil a translation?
Sounds like a Phil translation. I never heard that.
Yeah, sounds like a Phil translation. And then Kyle says, Satan got into the head of Judas and Vlad, causing him to blame Christ, who was innocent. My point about the silver was about the connection to the Jews, not how it was revealed. That's unimportant. I'm just using my memory of the events. Don't let Satan get into your mind. What the fuck? Satan's one of our better friends, Kyle. We have no problem being Satanists every now and then, you know. We don't find anything negative. What are you saying? My point about the silver was about the connection to the Jews, not how it was revealed. What's it mean, not how it was revealed? Does he mean when it fell out of his pockets?
I don't know.
Satan got into the head of Judas and Vlad and causing him to blame Christ, who was innocent. Remember, Lucifer is a nice guy, Kyle, not someone to blame stuff on. So look at this, 122. I can only assume it's poor satire. What is poor satire? Ion or the Bible? Come on, 122. What is poor satire? Checkers says a bunch of shit. Or doesn't say anything. Kyle, who really knows the truth? We do, Kyle. Some guy on, Jack says, some guy on Landis Avenue over by Acme. Acme is on Chestnut Avenue. I can't even agree on where the Acme store is. Who are you, says Kyle? Phil says, I can hear the pterodactyls chirping in Sean's backyard, right? Yeah. 122, yeah, but like that direction. Don't know what that means, but like that direction. Or he likes that direction. Phil, the dinosaurs just got Sean. Yes. Phil, Ion said that we will be able also move even faster than vampires, which must make us phenomenally quick. Well, when did Ion say that, Phil? The gospel according to Phil. Anybody remember that? Ion said we'll be able to move faster than vampires. He might be right. I don't know.
I don't remember. But
oh, Greg Duffel makes it back. Right. What?
He may be right, but I don't remember hearing that. About that, but I don't remember hearing that about being fast.
Right. And Greg says, I learned I do not want to be impaled the way Ion described. Left to rot while people drive by, scared by Vlad. Yes, it's a hard way to go, Greg. To be shish kebabbed up the bum, through your whole body and up through your fucking head. That's what he said, right? You guys with me on that? Did I hear that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Now, Kyle gets personal. My girlfriend had hundreds of red blood cell transfusions. She believed I was Vlad that was brought her to me. She believed I was Vlad. That was what brought her to me. What? Because she had blood cell transfusions? She became a vampirist? More vagueness, Kyle. Please type better. My girlfriend had hundreds of red blood cell transfusions. What's that mean, Carol? That sets you up to be a vampire?
Mm. Well, remember his girlfriend had some sort of fatal sickle cell anemia. So, yeah.
And she was very good at sex. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, you remember
obviously
that.
Obviously a possessed person. and she was looking for Vlad for a real good time. She'd been watching True Blood. And Kyle was so cool. She thought Kyle was Vlad, which goes back to my point that Kyle's a goddamn vampire. Mm-hmm. Look at that. You walked right into it, Kyle. You're admitting it. I mean, who around us would be believed to be Vlad? You got to be a pretty fucked up guy for people to start saying, I think he's Vlad. You know, but I said that already. I start off the evening's discussion of the verses of Kyle, that Kyle is a vampire. Didn't I say that, Carol?
Yep. Afraid so, Bob.
Yeah. Ion says, Phil says, Ion was speaking about the TV series True Blood, where vampires are shown to move lightning quick. We will be quicker. Yes, he could have been talking about the TV show. That's right.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil always remembers all the stupid stuff. Not like Bert, who remembers the profound Bob-oriented stuff. Have you ever seen Phil? Well, Bob, I was very impressed in your second session on CKLN. You don't hear that from Phil. Bert, Bob, who was on. Now, Bert, did you see what happened on Explorations today, past 24 hours?
No.
The whole CKLN thing, you didn't see that?
No, I have to go after the show and look. No.
Oh, man.
It wasn't online.
Well, what I don't know how I discovered somewhere, because it wouldn't have been on our site. Someone posted.
Was that the book? Was it the book?
No.
I saw where you corrected an author.
Oh, yeah. No, I corrected Mrs. Stephanie McLuhan. Boy, that's a scandal. Yeah. But that's another story. Let's do this one first. So there was this footage of the broadcasting booth at CKLN in the early days. They moved to another building after I was gone. But in the 80s, there's a little booth, and there's this guy, and it turned out to be some TV documentary on CKLN, and David Bernard, who was a station programmer, he sent it to Andy Stokansky, a part of the, I don't know, that's all he had maybe from the TV documentary, and it shows Andy being in the booth, you know, playing records, and so then Bernard and Andy notified all the CKLN friends of theirs, And they all oohing and oh, wow, brings back memories. You know, for them, it's 30 years ago. Boy, look at that. That's incredible. The whole world in there. And a relic comes in, and she posts a audio clip that I found for her where she interviews John Cage. You might remember me talking about that a couple of years ago. So she said, Bob Dobbs gave me this. And so there's a little clip. So, so then I came in and said, well, and they had a picture of a little magazine article, a student newspaper, on them, June 87, with Mike Dyer in the background, because when you're in the little studio, look at another studio through the windows. And it's a bit bigger, actually. You do your recording in there. So there's Mike standing. So I said, June 87, that's when I started. I said, that is the day the newspaper article was done, the day that Mike and I started, June 17th, 87. And so I went and got the link to that show. And that's the one where I say I'm here before the Logos and after the Logos, you know, total huge megalomania, even bigger than Kyle's, talking Lucifer-like. And so I posted. I said, look at this, coincidence. The newspaper article was done the day, because they have a photo of these kids and Mike in the background through the window in the other part of the studio. And I said, yeah, that's all I said. This happened the same day. Within 10, 15 minutes, it's fucking deleted.
What?
So let me, yeah. So let me just bring this up. I can do it more precisely. Where is it?
I saw where you posted on your site. There was alternative radio. Here's the old TKN studio. I saw that part, but that was on your site. But I didn't see the explorations.
No, it wasn't on explorations. It's on Andy Stokansky. So Andy Stokansky is the guy who is shown in the footage as a DJ. And Dave Bernard had the footage because he's interviewed in the section that we have. Mm-hmm. And so he sent it to Andy, and Andy posted it on his Facebook page. And so all these young CKLNers come in and reminisce about it. So where is mine? Yeah, I write on my site, I said, here's the old CKLN studio at Ryerson University in Toronto, mid-80s, in brackets I have, Ion says I, quote, fucked up, unquote, the world from there. Yes. But I don't say that on their place. I say that on my place, in my Facebook page. So then I post, I said, here are some of the programmers a few years later in an article and responding in the comments below. So I post the link to Andy Sikansky's Facebook page where people, many names I recognize, they were DJs and stuff. Like Michelle Rumble says, holy cow, what a great way back in time clip. Holy cow, what a great way back in time clip. Then Mike Dyer posts the article and says, sweet memories. Marva Jackson, she was a station manager. She now lives in London, says, thanks for sharing. Brought back many memories. Yes, indeed. Victor Baines Marshall, he says, we've got a spot for you at Radio Regent, Andy. Now, Radio Regent was us making fun with Greg last week about Norman Otis Richmond. He has this, you know, a little radio broadcasting in a nursery school or something. It's called Radio Regent. Well, Victor is asking Andy to come perform in their little nowhere place. Philly Markowitz, who is Mike's wife, says, oh, my heart, those were great days. She doesn't say, oh, my God. She says, oh, my heart. Those were great days. Then Dave Bernard, the one who came up with this footage, says, really wish the entire interview was available. Any chance, and he names a whole bunch of former DJs, that they might enjoy the flashback too? And then Victor, then Lee Robbins says Josie Vogels, I remember that name, sort of suggesting send one to her. Victor Bain, the radio reaching guy, says, where Mike Hansen produced his magic. I know, Mike, I post stuff on his place all the time. Where Mike Hansen produced his magic. Then Bernard lists a whole bunch of more people. Then Barbara Glazowski says, beautiful, what a great reminder of those days. Cheryl Bird says, thanks for the tag, David. Nice memories. What's the tag? Nice memories. He puts her name in that list. Thanks for the tag, David. Nice memories. One of the few things I didn't mind waking up early for, and the people were so amazing. Sharon McLeod says, too bad it wasn't longer, meaning the TV item. There were some good days back then. I think she means there were some good days back then. Or would it, I guess you could say they were some good days back then. Then Arella comes in and says, oh my, that is great. So many memories. And then she says, David, referring to Bernard, former program director, here is another moment that Bob Dobbs shared with me from that time period. Arella, Gannon, and Bob talk with John Cage. So then Arella sent it to me, so I found out about this. So I post the following. I say, where is that? So I happily post them, my first show. I said, where did I? Yeah, I said, this is what happened. So I post a link to our show that day that the newspaper article is photographed and talked about. I said, this is what happened later that day with Mike Dyer, who was in the background of the article's photo. So you could hear me do my show. Well, first time I was a guest. So I post that, and within 10 minutes, it's deleted.
Mm.
So I go, and why did you delete my post, Andy? No answer. Arella says, David, I love your hair, referring to the long hair of David Bernard in the interview, the TV footage. Then I repost my stuff. And I say, and then it's deleted. And I said, you deleted again, Andy. And I go, I assume, since it's his Facebook page, he's the only guy who could delete stuff, right? So I repost it again, and he deletes it. And I go, and again. So I repost it, and he deletes it. And I go, and again. And I repost it, and then he deletes it. I go, and again. Then Arella comes in and says, Bob, let it go. Arella, who's the mother hen of this whole scene, she's Miss Society, boho. She goes, let it go. I go, why? Why? And then I say to Arella, you tell who's ever doing it to cut it out. I gave you the John Cage clip. You owe me. And then in brackets, even though I don't like to claim it was a favor I did you. And nothing is done. I post my stuff. And I get deleted, and I go, and again. Then I say, witness the unmaking of history. Witness the unmaking of history. And Brian Taylor comes in. Are you looking at a bird or something?
Yes, I'm looking at it, yeah. I found the link.
Yeah.
There's a link in that.
Witness the unmaking of history. And there's Brian, a picture of Brian crying. Okay, he has a little icon, an emoji, where he's crying. You know, Brian, he was upset. He was upset about what happened to Church Sub Genius and how they banned me. And now his whole other youthful dream, see, Kellen, they're ruining their image in his eyes by banning Bob, right? So he starts crying, another disappointment. So I say, I quote Arella, let it go, Brian. And then I go, ha, 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 ha. So I insult Arella there. I'm making fun of her, telling me to let it go. I tell Brian to let it go. And then I repost my thing, and he deletes it, and I go, and again. And then I post it again, and he deletes, and I go, and again. But now I get smart. I say, I don't know whether it's a bot deleting or what. So I start, instead of keep typing, and again, I just changed the number. So I go, and again, it's now up to 44 more times what I last did. But I don't post anymore. I just changed the number. And then I say, I'm not ever dying. In brackets, I have so much slack, Andy. I'm not ever dying, Andy, so this is not going to stop. Lee Robbins doesn't give a fuck about what's going on. She goes, wow, that booth, it was a whole world in there. He's ignoring me. And then some African guy says, possibly the best film footage of that booth ever. I remember listening in my car while you, meaning, he could mean Lee or he could mean Andy, while you started your interview with Baba Mail. I came in and jammed with him and with Mansoor Zek. I have a pic of all of us, Andy. Okay, so he's addressing Andy. To be posted. So there, so I go, Baba Mal, Mansoor Zek, what's that? So I look it up on YouTube. There it is, the two of them singing. They're like obscure African guys, or, you know, from a very small African place. So I played them today. That was my second or third song. They sang their African stuff. And then Kobe says, thanks for that, Andy. And then says two replies, nothing there. So I would post there over the last 24 hours until I stopped. And I decided that he could put a bot in or put something in that any time I'm posting, because I posted one time and it was stayed for 10 or 15 minutes. Then it got knocked out. But ever since then, it got knocked out pretty quickly, within a minute or two. So he's got... why doesn't he just defriend me, you know, unfriend me? But he's not. And could it be, Bert, that I go in there, post something, and he's got a signal there? Anytime Purple posts anything, delete it. You know, that could probably be arranged, right?
I don't know if they have that sophisticated software yet in Facebook. He has to go in and actually delete it, Bob, because he probably gets a notice if he's the head of it. That it's done and he just goes right in immediately. I don't think they're that sophisticated yet to have.
And he could be doing that on a cell phone. He lives in Los Angeles. He could be anywhere. And bing, there it is. He deletes it right wherever he is. Because yesterday, for about 2 or 3 hours, I was doing it, and he was deleting it. But I didn't know where he was. But I was imagining maybe he's sitting home and watching and deleting him, but I figured, well, when he goes to sleep, I'll get it. I just wanted to be up there for a while so people can see it. But after I slept today, I got up and it was deleted. So I've decided that he can, it's automatic. Maybe he's doing what you're saying, but he can't be doing it all day long. So now a couple of points is in there. I said, he saved. He did not delete me saying that I'm going to live forever. I'm not ever dying. But I said two other statements. Oh, yeah. So I said, hey, look at our products. So I posted our products. That got deleted. And then then I listed Ian and Bob, that site, and that got deleted. So I was trying to tell the people about what we've been doing. So I imagine his justification is, this is tribal. You can't talk about yourself. You just come in and say, oh, I got great memories. Oh, you're all great. Why can't we get along, you know? Or, well, let's get along. And so I was putting in personal aggrandizement. You know what I mean? That's what he probably will say he objected to. But Arella posted her aggrandizement of our talk with John Cage. Well, maybe because John Cage has universal significance in the music world that's acceptable. But anything about Bob Dobbs is not allowed because he's obviously an insane asshole, right? So let's see. What else happened? So then I wrote this. I created something, and I was making a larger post. You can see this on my site. I go, the old factional fights continue, in brackets, Dave Neufeld versus Dave Bernard. Then I said, I posted this, and it was deleted 5 minutes later. I typed blah, blah, blah. So I kept posting that sentence, that stuff, that, hey, Andy, you're working for Dave Bernard against Dobbs, who works for Dave Neufeld, all right? Dave Neufeld and Dave Bernard are the heads of the factions. when Bernard fired Dave, or he was around there not helping Dave. I don't know if he was program director in 86. So that is not allowed on there. It was on there for a while, but then he deleted that and my ads for RNA drops and Ian and Bob. Okay, so what was interesting is Brad Reed, who was a station programmer in the mid-80s, and he got fired unceremoniously. He monitors my site because he is now a professor in Toronto, and he teaches stuff on McLuhan. It's part of his course. Maybe it's a pop culture course. So he's monitoring my site to see when I post quotes from McLuhan. Like earlier yesterday, he said, hey, there's a nice quote. Can I use that? And I said, sure. Well, in the middle, so he sees this happening on my site. So Brad says, don't get me started, because Brad's got a lot of grievances about that scene, about the factional fights, right? And I go, LOL, why not, Brad? This is what our memories are really all about, we being two awesome DJs today. Like, he's still a DJ at the University of Toronto station, the rival station, since there's no more CKLN. So I'm saying, this is what our memories are really all about, the factional fighting, and we being two awesome DJs. Then I said, Brad, if you can get on there, you should see what's happening. And I go, Andy, I assume, keeps deleting my posts, and I keep reposting. We've done it about 44 times now. Arella wants me to let it go, but I ain't. And so today I decided, well, he's got an automatic thing, or he can do it real, and it's no inconvenience. So I thought, well, maybe I won't do this forever. So I did something different. I went over to Mike Dyer's place. Okay, my colleague. I went over to his Facebook page, and I posted all this. And there on his Facebook page is Andy's thing sent to Mike. So right above, it goes in when I post, goes right above Andy so he could see this, I post the fact that the old-fashioned fights continue. And I explain, I do that, the whole post that was always getting deleted. So there it is, still sitting there. And a couple hours later, Mike Dyer liked it. And then another guy came in and liked it. And that's Doug Nicholson, who used to be the substitute host for Mike. When Mike was away, Doug would be the Mike Dyer for me. So when Mike first does it, likes it, I go, see, Mike, the old synchrony still happens. The photo with you in the background is the same day of our first show. And I said, they can't take that away from you. So he likes that. And then later I go back, and there's Doug likes it. And then I say, yes, Doug got some synchrony too. Actually, I say, yes, Doug got some too, because he was helping do the show. Then I say, I'm on the internet radio right now making, this was during the music thing today, I'm on the internet radio right now making the CKLN alumni, making the CKLN alumni proud of my DJing mentors. And I'm doing it across the whole planet, at least most of it. Fascinated, the whole planet is fascinated with the notes coming out of their earbuds. So we'll see if Andy sees that Mike has a lot of status among the CKLN people. So they'll say, well, Mike is not, he supported me a little bit. But Mike Dyer is a notorious fence sitter. He just is nice to everybody. Doesn't notice his contradictions. So there we are, my drama for today. Andy don't
another
like
chapter.
Me. Yeah, another so we'll tell another chapter of the endless fight and the endless jealousy of me. And new fellow find about this and say, Bob, take that down. I don't want my past all over the fucking place. So we will take a while before we tell Neufeld, because he'll probably want it not out there. I mean, here it is, the big remembrance Facebook thing going on, and me and Dave are in a fight, like always, with them. What do you think of that, Carol?
Mm.
note when they order the RNA drops, Carol, to delete it. Delete their orders. They will all die. So, sorry for the digression. Shall we get back to Kyle and the devil and Satan? And so what? Yeah, look at this. Look at Kyle. It looks like he's already mad. So Greg, I hope you heard this, Greg, because this is what I had to tell you. Now I don't have to call you up and tell you personally. What do you think of this, Greg? Well, it looks like Greg was listening. And let's see what Greg says about this, because Greg... what is this? Greg says, Bob has the skill to turn a spelling mistake by one of the listeners, T-O-O instead of two, into also, sort of making enhanced sense of what was written. Hey, 22. Now, Greg, I think I know, I did notice the misspelling, but I didn't do anything. I don't remember. I can't change their post. So I'm not sure what Greg's talking about there. You have an idea, Bert? Do you see where?
No.
If Greg's still up, I got to call him. We got to bring Greg in, talk live about this. Greg will have 2 hours worth of hilarious. He'll tell us who everybody is. Yeah, look at Greg. Bernard looks so weak and sleazy. Yes, in the footage. Let's see. Bernard. Yeah, well, Greg says, I saw that clip. The guy at the end is famous now on TVO. Yeah, oh, I thought he looked familiar. I don't know Stephen Pagan, but I did see him a few months ago in some footage, and I'm looking at that guy, and he's talking to Violent Femmes singer, a band called Violent Femmes. I remember that name. And I said, geez, that guy looks familiar. Who's he? I don't remember the station. So that's who he is. He's Steve Pagan. Yeah, the guy at the end is famous now on TVO. He has a political show 5 nights a week for an hour each. Oh, fuck, that's ridiculous. Steve Pagan. Then Greg says, Bernard looks so weak and sleazy. That's right. And they all love his hair, all the groupies there. Then Kyle comes in, and he says, oh, look at this. Kyle admits he's a vampire. I'm never wrong, people. He says, I was a vampire, but the RNA drops changed me. Hey, very good testimony. Note that, Greg. Look at the power of our drops. You may have to take the drops someday, Greg, even though you're in my team. Greg says, Steve Pagan hosts The Agenda. He's a Liberal Party operative. Very good, Greg. Greg knows who everybody is. He's as bad as Mark Salman, who categorizes everybody.
No.
Yeah, but you're not really as bad as Mark. 122 says, we're very interested in your Linus box. What is that? Then someone talks about some box. Did I say we're in a box? I don't know. Then 122 says, hey, Kyle, or says something to Kyle. Then Greg says, programs the agenda with Steve. Oh, who does? Somebody programs the agenda with Steve Pagan. Who?
That's a link to the show.
That's
a link to the show.
Oh, no, okay.
Greg posted a link to the show.
Right. And then, so Greg says, here's Greg, totally pissed off at the low quality of these people. That reminiscing was pathetic. Yeah, we do a way better reminiscing than that. And then Greg says, now, is this right now? No. He says, exactly, Bob. Very good. Victor Baines Marshall. I did remember you talking about Victor Baines Marshall, I think, Greg. So you say, I don't know what I said that you're saying that was very good, but then Greg says, Victor Baines Marshall was claiming he was dying, couldn't get medical treatment because he has been an illegal immigrant for the past 30 years. See, Greg, he's our J. Edgar Hoover. He knows about everybody. And then Greg says, they're all name-dropping like Norman Otis Richmond. And then Greg says, Barbara Goslowski was only at CKLN to get press credentials so she could get free tickets to the Toronto International Film Festival. I remember you talking about that years ago. I remember you talking about her. And then Greg says, then she went to Radio Regent, a kid's place. Yeah, kindergarten, nursery school, so she could do the same. They go to a nursery school so they get press passes. Kyle's trying to get attention, and he's starting to argue with 122. Wee hoo, 122. And then 120 says, you're behind a VPN, yay. The vampire political party? I'm not sure. Kyle says, yes, so what is your point? And 122 says, just looking. Kyle says, found anything interesting? So I guess he's looking up Kyle's history or something. Or not. Then 122 says, some UTN-9 login for a Sophos web panel. What the hell is that? Then Greg, back to sanity. Here's Greg. Glad I was around to hear that. That's right, Greg. And then Violent Femme says, 122, blister in the sun. Okay, Greg, I'm going to call you. We're going to get you. Don't go to bed yet. We're going to get Greg mouthing off the details of these idiots. Now, Greg wouldn't know Andy Stokansky, I don't think. Those were before his time. But where is Greg Duffel's phone number? Ah, there it is. Okay, Carolyn, you got to go off for a second while I phone Greg?
Yep.
Okay, hit flash. Okay, we have the very popular Greg Duffel, substitute host for Bob Dobbs, the Andy Stokansky of Dobbstown.
I can't believe I'm on 2 weeks in a row.
I know. Well, you wouldn't be on, Greg, but this
is an important matter. This is important, I know.
Isn't it outrageous what they fucking did?
Oh, well, you know, I went to look at that.
Did you hear me talking. You didn't know about it before, right?
Yeah, I went on to Facebook. And I refreshed the page.
Well, when?
And
when
there
did you do this?
And
based
there
on,
was just,
this is on your own
no,
searching?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really do it. I heard you say that something had happened, but we'll have to talk about that later. But then, you know, I was into Facebook, and I clicked on, like, the refresh thing, and then I see this post you made, and I see the video. So
yeah.
I go to the video, which I've already downloaded, by the way. I already have a local copy of that.
Goes into the ancient archive.
Yeah, I've already got that. I got that locked in. Okay, if they take that down, I've already got that. Okay, so
so you just had to go to my Facebook page to see this.
I guess, because I don't see any of this stuff,
right.
You know, normally.
Yeah.
So then I followed all your links to go and see these pathetic people talking about CKLN and reminiscing. And it's amazing they even have time to do that.
No.
Well, they don't have anything
time.
To do, do they?
Well, that's not. Everybody's on Facebook. Everybody has time to do Facebook. You can't hold that against them. And they're only saying one sentence. They're not typing much.
Yeah, I know. It's very vapid. But I was. The thing that was shocking to me was, well, first of all, not shocking, you know, seeing that pasty face Bernard.
Yes.
That was, you know, that wasn't really shocking, but it was, you know, just horrible to see him there.
Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yeah.
Was he still there in late 2006, 7, 8, 9? Oh,
what they did was, he was doing this horrible blues show.
Yeah. Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, I've got some great footage. I don't know whether I can ever show it.
Yeah.
But we knew that Bernard was going to get fired,
Right.
Or they weren't going to allow him to come down and do a show. So Danny and I...
See, guys,
out.
You know what I mean? Look what he did. You have to realize Bernard is... It is Neufeld versus Bernard, that 40-fucking-year history.
So we knew this, right?
Yeah.
We had advanced knowledge. So we camped out in the hallway. Okay.
Now,
like
this
in
is
the hallway
for a stage that nobody cares about, but Greg and Daniel are eccentric. They're following this case of a kindergarten school or something.
Like we were still at the station, but we found out something was going to happen. So we went down there, and we set up cameras in the hallway. All right?
To film him going home crying.
And we actually got and he didn't even really realize we were there until like near the end of this conversation he had. We were far enough away, and know, nondescript enough.
Yeah.
That he didn't really, that didn't click until the end that we were there and documenting him getting, you know, like getting canned.
We gotta show that. Let's post that on this fucking thread.
I know I've got it somewhere, right? I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of footage. There's a lot of footage I got that I can. I'm not
hey, Greg,
sure.
Why
I
don't
could
we
ever
fucking make this a real memory page? They'll delete everything, but we'll get stuff on there, and we'll put the whole fucking documentary on there over the next 3 months.
I mean, the thing is that the stuff we've got on recorded on video is so would be so controversial and so like they'd hire lawyers to stop us from doing this, you know? They would spend money to stop us using the footage. I know it because. And they kind of know we've got this stuff, I think, but it's a stalemate. You know,
Let me say this.
Yeah.
Andy, he was only there in the mid-80s, 30 years ago, and he did well in the music industry. He went to L.A., but he's probably been only in touch with Bernard and heard about us all for the last 20 fucking years. You know what I mean? And that's why he immediately deleted me. He knows me from the Bernard side.
Oh, yeah, and Bernard would make sure that he would tell everybody, anybody he knows, all of the people that he hates.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be, like, top of his list.
Right.
That's my opinion, Bob. I don't know that to be a fact. That's just my opinion.
Okay, you saw him getting talked to by management and fired? Is that what you got on tape?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what the details were. I don't know whether I think we knew that he was going to come down to the station. He was going to go and do his show, and the station manager at the time was going to tell him that he couldn't come and do his program.
And would this be before 2006, before he first got knocked off? Or?
This would be around 2007, I would say, because we were. Yeah, it would be in late 2007, early 2008.
When you first got knocked off, and then you were off for a year and a half, then you came back.
Then we came back, yeah. It would be the part where we came back. And we were sort of on, you know, I wouldn't say great terms with the management, but it was barely tolerable. But
they had to because you won the case and they had to let you back.
Well, yeah, they hated us.
Yeah.
But they also... They also saw us as, because we were kind of enemies of the people that were their enemies, they sort of saw us as a...
Oh, yeah, an ally.
You know, as an ally, but, you know, they hated us even still. So, but sometimes they'd give us sort of information about what was going on, and the information was that Bernard was going to come down to do his show as normal, even though what he was doing was, he was, you know how he's sort of two-faced, right?
Yeah.
He was conspiring to get rid of them, or actively conspiring to get rid of the management.
Yeah.
But still coming down and wanting all of the perks of doing his program.
Right. Now, which management is this? Give me 5 minutes. When I get 5 minutes, or
That was
that guy, Mike.
Yeah. He's the one that we have video of him, basically talking to Bernard.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, you can't come and do your show anymore. And
that's pretty sleazy to fire someone like that, like not even to give them a notice or anything. Just, you know, what was their grievance against them? They knew that Dave Bernard was conspiring against Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was being duplicitous as usual, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he was, that's my recollection anyway, but they didn't want to allow him in. They were all conspiring against the management and trying to undermine them and get rid of them because they weren't their people.
Right.
They needed, and Bernard was doing that terrible blues show that he does.
Dr. Feelgood. Yep.
Dr. Feelgood. I don't know whether was he calling himself that still? Maybe he was.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah,
it was
a
horrible program.
I went over to look at Dave Bernard's site in the middle of this, his Facebook page. And there's a guy in the Blues Society that they honored like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He goes home and dies.
Oh.
And everybody's all in shock.
Well, that's a whole thing, this blues society.
Yeah.
There's so much drama about that thing. You would never think that... But I guess with every group, there's some kind of drama. And I remember that the management knew this guy. His name was Eddie, I think. Eddie something. And he'd been shunned by the Blues Society.
I remember that case. Didn't he have something to do with CIUT also?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a whole scandal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that guy just hated Bernard something fierce.
Yeah.
And the new management deliberately brought this guy in.
New manager CKLN brought the guy in.
Brought him in to deliberately piss off
Bernard
and the whole Blue Society thing and that whole clique.
Yeah.
And that was a whole weird thing. Eddie, I can't remember his name, but he couldn't even take it. When he went back, he just, look, I can't stand this. I can't handle it, you know, because he was caught in controversy again, you know. He just couldn't go and do his show.
You mean he was brought back to bug people, but he didn't like that context for doing his show?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there was all this drama at the station at that time. Because,
yes, I remember you told me it bowl by bowl. The whole, I remember the Eddie thing. And, there's a picture, maybe on Arello's page, of the CIUT people. They're still going, right? They won the battle. University of Toronto never went out of business, right?
No, they had trouble. What happened with them? I don't know if this is boring to everybody, but it's just between you and me, right? Bob,
right. Well, that's not what it always is. Whoever I'm talking to is always about me and them, right?
But,
right, Bert?
But this is what happened.
Bert, you love this, right, Bert?
Yeah, it's fun to listen to.
Is Bert there?
It's Bert, background.
We may or may not, but we could fucking post this, and they could all listen to what we're saying about them.
Don't.
You know what?
Don't do it. Don't
hold
do it.
Yourself
don't do it.
Back, though.
Let them find them on their way. No, I'm not going to hold myself back, but don't. So this is what happened at CIUT, in my opinion, okay, from my research, and I've done a lot of research about it.
In my opinion, I'm talking to Greg Duffel. I'm not sure.
In my opinion, I'm on the radio.
I'm saving you, Bob.
Saving you in a cheap radio by saying that. What happened at CIUT was, I'm not going to name names because I don't really know these people. You know who they are.
Yeah.
But because some of them were people from CKLN.
That's right.
But and some of them you've mentioned, you know, in just in the last few minutes.
That's right.
But anyway, what they did was they were over at CIUT. CIUT started around 1987. CKLN started, what, 83? And CIUT got a license from the government to set up one of these.
Here's an important point. The article that they show with, you know, with Mike in the background, if you look at the little, I enlarged it, and I found out what we couldn't figure out last week. It was the year before, in June, 1st of July, 86, they raised the wattage. It went to 250, not 13. It says right there, the station recently went up to 250 watts. Remember we were wondering last week, was it 13 or 250? Well, it's right there in the article. I was really happy to get that solved.
Well, that was Adam Braun's biggest achievement, was that he got it up to 250.
Yeah. But that
I think that it wasn't such a great achievement, and I'll tell you why. I can remember that it was at 13, and I could get that station out in Scarborough.
Wow.
Which is 13 miles away. Yet when they went up to 250, it got a bit dodgy, you know. So it got, it's, and
they
downtown got Toronto,
off the building
even,
more.
Even in downtown Toronto, people complained they couldn't get the damn station.
Right.
So it didn't, I don't know, the technical specifications of that station were always poor.
Right.
And maybe got worse when people like Adam Vaughn took over that don't understand anything about technical stuff, really,
right.
I don't think. But whereas the people who had actually got the license, who had, it was a radio club at Ryerson for years, and they worked hard to actually get a license. And as soon as they got the license, these so-called progressive people just moved in on the station, kicked everybody out that knew anything about radio,
yeah,
technically or otherwise, and then took it over themselves, and then proceeded to, over, you know, a few years, ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
And except for when you were on, and then of course that was ruining it further because they were undermining you all the time.
Yeah.
To get rid of anything that was anything that was good, they could figure out how to get rid of it and replace it with something really terrible
and dull
and boring.
Yeah.
And for the most part. And but I mean, Bob's show was you know, miles ahead of everything else that was going on. It was really the only thing worth listening to if you were to examine.
And I got the big articles written about me.
And how hard would it be? Let's say you have a radio station. I mean, look what you're doing when you're playing the music that you're playing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, would you call that hard, what you're doing there?
No.
Like,
it's
no.
Nothing.
It's easy, right? It's easy. You're playing what you like. You're playing stuff. It's easy. There's nothing hard about that.
No brain.
These people at CKLM were making themselves out to be geniuses for playing records.
Yeah.
You know, and not being under the thumb of like a top 40 thing. They're going, wow, we're geniuses. We're playing records. We're playing the other cuts on the album. I mean, that really doesn't take much, you know.
Yeah, and they avoided spoken word because they couldn't talk. And they couldn't think.
No, they couldn't do that.
So, yeah, they couldn't.
Anyway, okay, so here's what happened.
Let's go back to what you were saying about CIUT.
CIUT. Okay, here's what happened. And I did a lot of research on this later because there was a lot. What I learned by doing the research, everything that these so-called progressive people had told me, and I'd done a lot of research in interviews about the CIUT.
I remember listening to you interview the CIUT guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just do nothing but lie to you about things, right? Because they're always trying to do it from what they wanted it to be, and from their perspective, there's no reality as to what they don't know what the reality was. But what happened was these people, some of them from CKLM, some of them not, got in there, and they had a lot of money there at CIUT.
Yeah.
That one was flush with cash, more so than CKLM. And they just proceeded to rip the place off and put expense accounts and getting cabs everywhere, a particular person you mentioned just in the last little bit, who now lives somewhere else in another continent, and allegedly.
Yeah.
So they were ripping everything off, and it got to the point where the station was just on its last legs, with only after a couple of years of being in existence, or maybe longer. Anyway, oh no, it was around 2000, I guess. It was around. It's amazing how much you can undercut a radio station. Or one of these quote-unquote not-for-profits, and it'll keep going, you know, lurching along, and then it reaches its breaking point. And it reached its breaking point, as far as I know, right around the time that I started at CKLM.
2000.
And I remember, and because I didn't really lobby hard for that, you know, to take over the international connection. It was sort of a mistake that I even, you know, did it.
Yeah.
But the thing at the time, they said, oh, well, you know, they said to me, I think you're going to work out fine doing this, but, you know, there are a lot of people being let go from CIUT right now, and maybe, so they were thinking maybe, you know, that someone from there would come in and
take
over the program. Yeah, and I go, well, okay, whatever. But I didn't know what was going on at CIUT. I had no idea. It was all inside baseball type stuff, right? Because these people knew what was going on there. I had no idea about the politics, or I wasn't involved in that whole scene at all. So what happened was that the things got so bad that they were on the verge of losing their license. And the CRTC was onto them, and which is the Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications.
And this is in 2001?
Commission. This is, 2000. Yeah, I'd say 1999, 2000, somewhere in there. And they put some, they had weird people put in there to,